Homelessness in Rhode Island is a major issue that needs to be addressed promptly and efficiently. The most recent report from the U.S. Department of Housing and Urban Development states that there are an estimated 1,104 people experiencing homelessness on any given day in Rhode Island. Of that total, 121 were family households, 92 were veterans, 23 were unaccompanied young adults, which means ages 18 through 24, and 226 were individuals experiencing chronic homelessness. Public school data reported to the U.S. Department of Education during the 2018-2019 school year, 1,475 public school students experienced homelessness over the course of the year. Of that total, 17 students were unsheltered, 229 were in shelters, 193 were in hotels or motels, and 1,036 were doubled up. These statistics are extremely alarming. You may ask what the Rhode Island government can do about homelessness in Rhode Island. One important thing the Rhode Island government can do is develop and influence the construction of affordable housing. However, there is a lack of urgency within the Rhode Island government to do so for Rhode Islanders at or below the poverty line. In fact, only 6 of Rhode Island's 39 cities and towns, Burrville, Central Falls, Newport, New Shoreham, Providence, and Woonsocket, have met an affordable housing goal set in 1991. There has been recent legislation on this issue specifically. On March 7th, there was a package of 11 bills revealed, and they are aimed at removing barriers to the construction of new housing. For example, one of the bills would allow single-family homeowners to add accessory units onto their properties and ban cities and towns from limiting the tenants to family members. The most interesting bill would place a 9-month time limit on decisions by the Senate Housing Appeals Board, with the developer automatically winning a case if there is no decision by them. This bill would also give the House Speaker the power to appoint 2 alternates to the appeals board, chosen from the world of realtors and developers in the state, in the event any 2 other voting members are unable to attend. However, this has been said to conflict with the separation of powers clause in the Rhode Island Constitution. There are many interests and advocacy groups involved in the construction of housing to be built for the homeless. These groups are pushing housing to be built sooner rather than later. A prominent group is the Rhode Island Coalition to End Homelessness. This group hosts great events in the community along with offering support for the homeless. This is not the only group concerned about the homeless and the lack of housing. Many Rhode Islanders are also concerned about the homeless and housing crisis we are currently experiencing. Many people seem to come up with their own solutions to these problems, but there often seems to be limitations to constructing housing and providing opportunities for the homeless. To further explain these topics, I would like to introduce Harrison Tuttle, who is the current executive director of the Black Lives Matter Rhode Island PAC. Harrison is also a candidate for the state senate to represent District 31. The position of Speaker of the House is without a doubt the most powerful position in Rhode Island. This, paired along with the part-time legislation, seems like a recipe of disaster for many. With that being said, Harrison, we would like to ask you a few questions up front so you can speak without interruptions. Isaiah, could you please ask him the question?
Hi, Harrison. I got a couple of questions for you. How do you think the Speaker of the House is handling homelessness and the housing crisis in Rhode Island?
Yeah, thank you so much, guys. I think when we look at our housing crisis, one of the key points that has obviously been brought up is affordable housing. What people don't realize about affordable housing is that we can allocate money for affordable housing, not only from federal dollars, but state dollars. But oftentimes those developments take years to make. And the reality is that we have folks that right now are unhoused in Rhode Island that need shelter. And so the question becomes for a lot of folks is how do we provide immediate housing for folks while also trying to create permanent, stable, affordable housing for an entire state that's really in desperation. And one of those things that we must really focus on are temporary houses that follow the housing first model that really looks at being able to not only provide immediate housing relief for folks, but also create programs not only for mental health, but also create programs that provide pathways to ownerships for people to be able to then seek employment with stable jobs as a result of being able to have a place to sleep at night. A lot of the cases of homelessness here in Rhode Island are cases in which people are experiencing it once or twice, and with the assistance, they can get back on their feet. There is a sense in which about 20% of the homelessness population is chronic, which means that they're out on the street or they're most likely to be repeat cases of being unhoused. And it's really important that we're able to address both. And one of the ways that we do that is a multifaceted approach to building affordable housing, but also providing the immediate relief for folks. And it's my opinion that that disconnection of how to approach homelessness is missed upon by the Speaker of the House.
Do you think, thank you for answering that question. And the next question is, do you think if legislators were full-time in Rhode Island that these situations would be taken more seriously and given more attention?
Well, I wouldn't say it would be taken more seriously. I think there are a lot of people on both sides of the aisle that are interested in creating solutions to end our unhoused community. I think some people come from backgrounds in which they don't understand how a lot of issues are intersectional, and as a result, their policy doesn't reflect positive solutions that can end homelessness. And I can answer your question, but one of the ways that we could have ended homelessness here in Rhode Island was use the American Rescue Plan funds that we received from the federal government. It was over $1.8 billion that we received, and it would have approximately cost us around $52 million to end homelessness here in Rhode Island. But to answer your question, a lot of people that are elected come from backgrounds of privilege. And when I say privilege, either they are people with financial connections or people who do not have the same lived experiences as some of their constituents. Just last year, we saw a huge wave of candidates who are progressive running for office. We saw the first openly Black queer woman elected in the General Assembly. And they come from working class backgrounds. And so it's very hard for candidates that do not have those financial ties and big time donors to be able to run for office, because they're usually working or they're taking care of their family. And so by providing a livable wage for not only everyday Rhode Islanders, but by providing a livable wage to specifically people in the General Assembly, they effectively are going to be less time burdened to worry about their day-to-day job and focus full-time on being able to help the constituents that they were elected to serve. And this isn't a foreign concept. This is often a model that is used in other states, such as New York and other locations, where having full-time state legislators be paid for their term, a livable wage is normal. So I would agree that if legislators had more time to focus on helping their constituents, it would make a huge difference. And it primarily goes back to pay.
Thank you so much again, Harrison. I got one more question for you. What should Rhode Island be doing to help the homeless and fix the housing crisis? And do you see any limitations with this?
Well, look, I mean, we BLM RA PAC and community members had to sleep outside the state house in tents for over 2 weeks in December to let not only the governor, but also let the General Assembly know that our state was in a state of crisis. And so a lot of the plans by the General Assembly are word salad, and they provide words that appease to people, but are not the best plans to create solutions, and are oftentimes met with compromise by which developers that are doing their part and seeking to make profit. And so we really need to make sure that housing is a human right. And one of the ways to do that is not look at housing as a commodity, but a necessity to an everyday person's life. And so until we get to that point, and those views reflect in our General Assembly and the Speaker of the House, I don't think that we will have a state that ultimately respects everyone's dignity.
Thank you so much for taking time out of your day to talk with us, Harrison. You made a lot of valid points that I hope everybody listening will take into consideration. Homelessness is something that should not be taken lightly in Rhode Island. Our leaders should be more vocal and more proactive on opportunities for the homeless, as well as the construction of more affordable housing. Everyone deserves basic necessities in housing. Hopefully everyone watching can think of different ways to help provide these things. Also, Harrison, good luck on your election, and I hope we could talk again soon.